Time to take a look at your teeth now and talk about preventing and treating dental disease with Dr. Lowell Lakritz, our guest from Madison, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you listening in. If you have a question about dental care, we certainly hope you'll join us today. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or if you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Dr. Lowell Lakritz, welcome back.
Thanks, Larry. It's nice to be here again.
According to the Journal of American Dental Association, there are 85 million Americans who avoid dentists out of dread, which is a huge number. And there are a growing number of dentists around the country who are offering what they call sedation dentistry,
right,
to target those folks. What should you want to ask when you look for a dentist who uses oral sedation?
Well, here in Wisconsin, it's not too much of a problem. Dentists who use oral sedation, they recently have passed some legislation and within the Department of Regulation and Licensing that requires appropriate training prior to the ability for dentists to use sedation. And basically what it is, it's intravenous. Plug a needle into a vein and inject the proper amount of sedative material. And many of these techniques, they don't put people out. They simply make them relax and become less aware of what is going on, so people don't become unconscious by it. And it's reversible. They use occasionally, if necessary, using a stimulant type of drug to bring the person back out of it. But most people, after a period of time, it wears off quickly and they're back to normal.
And what I guess in the past, people were able to use, dentists were able to use gas.
Right. Well, that's still being used. Mm-hmm. Nitrous oxide and oxygen mixed together. Also for, this is called conscious sedation, and it works quite well. Some people get a bit claustrophobic from the little nose piece that fits over the nose so that they can breathe the gas. And using various levels, depending on the person, it varies according to the person's size or their weight. And this is generally adjusted according to the way the patient feels. And you can ask the patient, well, how do you like this? Is it okay? Do you feel good about it? And they're perfectly conscious and so forth, but it takes the edge off their anxiety. So these methods work very nicely. I used nitrous oxide and oxygen for many, many years in my practice, and it was very successful. Not everybody needs it. Mm-hmm. And you know,
no, I've never had it.
Right. There's the occasional patient who never even needs local anesthetic.
Yeah.
You know, I've done, you know, crown preparations and things like that on people with no anesthetic at all. Some people have a greater tolerance for discomfort and will be able to tolerate these procedures without anything. But those who need it for anxiety and for trepidation, as it were, you do have to use something for them. And these techniques work very well.
What am I? We just got a call in or an email, perhaps, or a call from someone who wondered, is there a whitening product available for dentures that, you know, you've got a denture that shows a stain? Is there a whitening?
No, you can. Most denture teeth are made from a very compact type of acrylic resin or porcelain, the denture okay. teeth. And these are pretty much impervious to any type of color change. It's done deliberately so that they really don't pick up stain as readily. And while certain areas of dentures can pick up stains, usually the junction where the tooth fits into the acrylic resin base that is the denture. Most denture cleansers that are commercially available on the market will help to remove a lot of these stains. They contain various bleaching and agents that will remove the stains from dentures. And basically, I would recommend anyone who wears dentures to simply brush their dentures with a soft toothbrush and regular toothpaste every day. And that'll keep them nice and clean and remove most of the stains.
Dr. Lowell Lakritz, our guest, as we talk about preventing and treating dental disease with him, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. What do you think about dental implants? Maybe we should talk about what are dental implants first. I had a few questions about that.
There probably are some people who are confused or who don't have any knowledge about it. Dental implants are replacements for lost teeth, which are actually inserted into the jaw bone itself. Most of these are made of either pure titanium or titanium alloys, sometimes coated with substances which resemble bone in their nature. And these will integrate into the bone of the jaw. The jawbone will actually grow up right next to them intimately so that there's no intervening space between the bone of the jaw and the implant. And so they get very, very solid. And once that implant is integrated into the bone, the dentist can then build it a crown or an appliance on top of that implant, which then functions just as a real tooth would function.
And they last a long time?
They do. They've been in use now for dental purposes for well over 35 years. And the constant improvement being made, research being made on the best design for them. Some of them have little threads and are screwed into the bone. Some of them are inserted in other ways. There are even techniques now available where if a tooth has to be lost, an implant can be placed immediately into the tooth socket and shortens up the wait for the bone to integrate quite a bit. So basically, the care needed to place them is very high. A good deal of skill is involved and experience, and I would certainly advise anyone who's contemplating implants, just like anything else, if you're going to have some heart surgery, you want someone who's done about 5,000 heart surgeries to do yours. And it's the same thing with dental implants. You need to find somebody who's had long experience and has done a lot of them, because there's a huge learning curve to the use of them.
Rob in Madison, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Rob.
Hi there.
What can we do for you?
I'm calling because I have a severe case of bad breath. What can I do to improve?
Mm-hmm. Well, the old saying is bad breath is better than no breath at all.
Yeah.
But by the same token, it can be offensive. There's a lot of reasons for bad breath. Some of it can be physical. It can be, within the bronchi of the lungs, there could be bacteria or something there that is causing it. Most frequently, bad breath is caused by the tongue itself. I would urge you to brush your tongue regularly as far back as you can reach without gagging yourself, because the tongue, the taste buds within the tongue are kind of like filamentous little things, and they gather bacteria and food particles in there. And unless you remove that stuff, it can cause severe bad breath. But there are other causes too. They can be medical. And you probably, if brushing your tongue and using a mouthwash and so forth doesn't help, you might want to discuss this with your physician to see if there's a medical problem. Just regular use of flavored mouthwashes will help and so forth. So it can be a constant problem for some people. Sometimes the foods you eat can cause it. Obviously, everybody knows about garlic and onions, but there are other foods which can, kind of increase the amount of bacteria and food particles that are trapped within the lungs, within the tongue, rather.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good luck, Rob. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Mohammed in Madison, it's your turn. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, you were talking about pain earlier when you go to the dentist, and I'm sure you're aware a lot of people avoid going to the dentist because of the anticipated pain and how much of a class issue it is. Poor people are not able to benefit from some of the, more gentler pain methods, because if you, a single parent like myself and with a disability who relies on Medicaid, it's hard to even find a dentist in Madison, particularly, let alone one that will allow you to get past that pain issue for you to get treatment.
Well, it isn't really that difficult. There, I don't know of any dentist who would deny a patient pain control based upon financial aspects. You're going to get some kind of help when you go to the dentist, either local anesthetic or possibly a mild sedative to take by mouth, or some way to alleviate the anxiety and the discomfort of having a dental procedure done. And so I don't think that someone's financial situation really bears upon pain control.
Yeah.
You know, dentists are not cruel by nature, and they will offer every patient some type of pain and anxiety control.
And in terms of cost, if a person doesn't have the money, what kinds of sources of information or what kind of help is available out there, if any?
There are some low cost and public type clinics available in various communities around the state. I know there's one up in Appleton. There's in the Appleton area, and there's one here in Madison on East Washington Avenue, and there's the clinic at Meritor Hospital that offers services to
in Madison
that offers services to people in a low income status, and so there are places available. There may be a waiting list to get in because there is a lot of demand, and I know that the clinic here in Madison that's on East Wash is expanding tremendously. They're adding space and hiring more dentists, so now they're able to take care of more people. So I think it's going to get a little bit easier for people who are on Medicaid and on disability and so forth to get into these clinics and get their dental care taken care of.
Oh, that's good. Do you know the name of that East Washington Avenue place right
off
the top?
Yeah, it's you know,
blanking on that.
It's available. If you look up dental clinics in the yellow pages, it'll be in there.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling, Mohammed. Appreciate it. And good luck with your dental work. Jan and Mequon will give you a chance now. Hi, Jan.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Doctor, I have a question about the whitening pre-brush rinses you use.
Mm-hmm.
When I use it, and the same thing happens with my husband, the skin on the inside of my cheeks peels off. Is that a problem?
Stop using it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, obviously it's irritating. Either that or change brands. There may be something in what you're using that just is you're allergic to or is not well tolerated by the mucosa inside your mouth. And so it would be worthwhile to try a different brand of a pre-whitening rinse. I assume that's what you're talking about, as a pre-brushing rinse.
That's the one. I've been using the Listerine one.
Yeah, Listerine products are a little bit strong for some people. And I would try one other product, perhaps, or a couple other products to see if the same thing exists. If it does, I would discuss this with your dentist. He may be able to come up with something for you.
Okay. Would it be overkill to use it along with a whitening toothpaste?
Not really.
No.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Jan. Ed in Menominee, it's your turn now. Hi, Ed.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple questions, actually. Unfortunately, I'm one of these people that have to be put absolutely out. Novocaine nitrous oxide doesn't work for me. The other thing is I've had a number of times where I've had fillings fall out right away and stuff. So my first question is how do I find a good dentist and then also be able to find somebody that does this total sedation, at the best price?
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing I could suggest is perhaps asking friends whose dentist might use the sedation techniques, or just get on the phone and start calling various offices and ask whether they provide those services or not. Most dentists who do provide it, they don't advertise it, you know, something they, you know, advertise in a newspaper or a telephone or telephone book or something like that. But you just have to search around until you find somebody that can offer those services.
So you need to go to the yellow pages and get on the phone. And then probably it is a good idea, I think, to ask friends and get some recommendations that way, because there's really...
Yeah, particularly if you've had bad experiences with, as you say, fillings falling out shortly after they're put in and so forth You really need to find a more competent person if that's the case.
Yeah, for sure. Good luck, Ed. Thank you very much for calling. Dr. Lowell Lakritz of Madison, our guest, as we talk with him about preventing and treating dental disease. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking your dental health with Dr. Lowell Lakritz, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for listening. Let's go back to the phones right away and to Jacob in Madison. Jacob, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning,
Doctor.
Good morning.
I have a question regarding the proper procedure to set up a peer review hearing with the Wisconsin Dental Association.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. Well, there, the Wisconsin Dental Association does provide peer review for questions with regard to treatment. You can call them direct, and they will connect you with the proper person. You can also go through the State Board of Dental Examiners, which is a component under the State Board of Licensing. That's also listed under state organizations in the telephone book. But it's very simple to set up one of these things. Basically, they'll ask you to document the situation and to put everything in writing and submit it. And they have a committee which reviews this and then will take up the issue with the offending person, if you will, and go on from there. If there can be no resolution through the peer review process, then you can go on to the state licensing board and pursue it that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks for calling. Peter in Stoughton, your turn. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've got some words of hope for some people who have probably not been to the dentist for quite a while for the obvious reasons. I've had two root canals in my life. One of them was about 25 years ago, and it was everything that they say root canals are. It took forever. It was lots of discomfort. It costs a lot, et cetera, et cetera. I had another one 5 years ago, and it's not my idea of fun things to do, but between the technology and technique, it's quite a bit different from what I experienced 20 years prior to that.
Absolutely. I agree with you. The newer techniques for doing root canal therapy are so updated, it makes the procedure quite a bit more easy. Usually most root canals can be done in one appointment today, whereas in the past, when I learned how to do root canals, we had to have people come back 2, 3, 4 times sometimes is the way the technique was done. But now with the modern instruments that they have and a lot of the specialists in particular who do root canal therapy, they use these very powerful microscopes that make that root canal look like a subway tunnel. It's so big. And they can see right down into the situation. And usually now with the proper techniques, it can be done usually in an hour to an hour and a half, and you're done and you're through. And it's relatively painless.
Yeah.
But even things such as basic cleaning are so much easier and less discomforting than they were just a short time ago. I'm sure I don't take better care of my teeth than I was 10 years ago, but there's a lot less scraping going on.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's, once again, faster and a lot easier, so
There probably is an office that I know of that doesn't use ultrasonic cleaning, using an ultrasonic device to remove the tartar and calculus from the teeth instead of doing it with the hand instruments that we used to use years back. This makes this procedure much easier and much faster and much more comfortable. So the technology coming along in dentistry is really great, from implants to ultrasonics to digital x-ray photography. Everything is on the move, and thank goodness. I mean, it's just a lot easier, not only for the dentist, but for the patient as well.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Peter. Appreciate it.
Good day.
Yeah, good day. It's nice to hear from somebody who's had that kind of experience and provide
right.
a little encouragement to those who haven't been.
Sure. We hear enough of the bad stuff.
Yeah, it's great to have that encouragement from somebody who's listening.
Right.
Thanks again, Pete. Arthur in Madison, we'll go to you next. Hi, Arthur.
Sorry, but here's another bad report. that process for filing grievance, the peer review, and the State Department of Licensing and Regulation, it's all a rubber stamp in favor of the dentist. In my case, I took my newly granted Badger card and found one of those rare dentists who accept the card. And turns out this guy does about 30 of these card people a day. I went in for a simple Maryland bridge for 2 missing front teeth. I came out with extractions of 3 perfectly healthy teeth. And the dentist Jay Wolfenden of Hillsboro, I recommend that nobody ever go near this hack because he's the worst butcher in Wisconsin. Jay Wolfenden.
Well, we're going to cut that part of it out because
right.
we just can't go there with listening with listing names. But I do want to address the issue that he brought up about it being a rubber stamp.
This is not the case. I know of many, many cases myself where the peer review situation and the state regulation, this Department of Regulation and Licensing, has really clamped down on dentists who perpetrate fraud, who use drugs, who do poor quality dental care. They will really step on these people pretty hard. And there are people who have lost licenses right here in Madison who and all throughout the state and who have been put on probation. It's not really a rubber stamp. If you have a legitimate complaint against the dental practitioner within this state, it will be accurately reviewed and judged upon. It could be that, you know, they may come to the conclusion that the dentist wasn't at fault, but it's not a rubber stamp thing to protect the dentist. The Dental Society and the State Board of Licensing and Regulation go way out of their way to make sure that these cases are reviewed accurately and punishment is meted out in if it's necessary.
Let's take another call. John in Eau Claire, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, John.
Hello. Thank you.
Thanks.
I had a question about protective coatings. I'm afraid this might be like the 100-mile per gallon carburetor or whatever, because it wouldn't help dentists. But is there something that is ultra tough, you know, like a truck bed liner or something that's going to coat and protect your teeth way over and above these fluoride treatments?
Well, there are sealants available that will seal parts of the teeth and make them less vulnerable to decay. And there's also a treatment involving a type of a varnish which does contain fluoride, which can be applied to children's teeth and adults' teeth, which offers some degree of protection. But the best protection you can have for your teeth is just taking good care of them. Good proper brushing, dental flossing to take care of your gums. And I highly favor, and I've said this many times on this program, I highly favor electric toothbrushes because they really do an excellent job of cleaning the plaque off of teeth, and that creates a healthy situation in the mouth. But there is no magic bullet for protecting the teeth, nothing that we can apply to the tooth that will totally protect the tooth. There are some items that will offer some protection, but not a total protection.
What should I ask for as the best coating?
Well, you're talking for yourself?
Yeah, because of sedation issues, I don't get to the dentist as often as I should.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking to take as good a care as I can, but
well,
also to...
I would suggest the next time you go for a checkup or for a cleaning, have the dentist evaluate your situation, and maybe they can recommend one of these intermediate type of protective coatings that can be used. They're not 100%, but they do help protect the teeth. So
it's a varnish, fluoride, and what else did you mention?
Sealants.
Huh?
The sealants which are applied to the teeth, they're actually bonded to the tooth.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
you're
thanks
welcome.
A lot for calling. If you'd like to join in, by the way, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. We're talking preventing and treating dental disease today with our guest, Dr. Lowell Lakritz. And Joanne in Barron, Wisconsin, is up next. Hi, Joanne.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
This has just been a question that dentists have answered in a way that I just am upset. I'm 67 years old, and I have bruxism. I grind my teeth. I've lost both molars on my upper right. I'm losing another molar on my upper left. And I have a night guard, I wear it, but it just doesn't seem to help. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to get all my teeth pulled, and I want to get really beautiful dentures. But dentists are telling me you can't do that because you're going to grind on your gums when you don't wear your teeth at night, you know, when you go to sleep, and you're going to grind on bone or something like that. I just want to know if that's true.
Well, the first thing I would say is I would certainly suggest don't have all of your teeth extracted and get dentures, because dentures are only about 25% as efficient as your own teeth for eating, which means that you'll sacrifice the ability to chew a lot of things with dentures, unless you go to an implant type of denture, which is then fixed into the jaw. But the mouth guard you have, there are many different types of them. And some of them are made of very firm resin acrylic material. Some are made of a softer material. And basically, what has to be done is an evaluation of your type of grinding or bruxism that you're doing, and then designing a very precisely designed mouth guard for you. The mouth guard will protect the teeth. I've had in the past a lot of people who grind their teeth at night will actually, over time, grind right through the mouth guard. So you make a new one. But they will protect your teeth as you wear that mouth guard. And there are some people who, because of their job, they need to wear it during the day because they're under stress and they grind their teeth when they're sitting at their desk or working at their computer. So there, you know, it has to be evaluated from your own personal standpoint. There are dentists around who sort of semi-specialize in these types of things, and you might want to search out one of those perhaps, although I don't know. You're up in Barron.
Barron, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I don't know
Rice Lake.
There might be someone in your vicinity that does sort of semi-specialize in the protection of teeth through mouth guards and so forth.
What about
an
endodontist or an oral surgeon? Would they?
Not really. Probably your better bet would be a prosthodontist, somebody who specializes in difficult dental reconstruction cases. They usually have within their specialty a good background in protection of the teeth of by people who brux or who grind using mouth guards, or sometimes even just balancing the bite and getting rid of some of the interferences in the bite will do the trick. So I would suggest a prosthodontist, somebody who specializes in difficult dental reconstructive cases. There must be some around up north there somewhere.
All right, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. I have a little guard that is just actually fits on the two front teeth.
Right.
I defy anybody to grind your teeth with that thing.
That's right. There are so many different ones that are available, and that's why I say someone who has experience in doing these sorts of things is someone to seek out. The average dentist certainly can make someone a mouth guard, but sometimes the diagnosis and the treatment of the specific case requires something special, and you have to have that background in order to be able to create that special device.
Thanks very much, Joanne, for calling. Appreciate it. I haven't heard it from Barron in a long time. You know, I did my doctoral research. One of the communities I studied was Barron, Wisconsin.
Oh.
So it was nice to hear from somebody from Barron.
Yeah, we go past it when I go up on fishing trips.
Pam and Mount Horovitz, your turn. Hi, Pam.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have a problem with my teeth. I'm 57 years old. My entire life, I've had problems with my top teeth. Every tooth had to be filled cavity after cavity after cavity, and it's redone. I think I've had them all done 5 times. Bottom teeth, I've never had a cavity. What is the difference here?
Well, that's a curious situation, but it probably has something to do with the metabolic development of those teeth when they were first developing. And the ability of the enamel to absorb those types of chemicals and elements which lend strength to the enamel. I've had adult patients using fluoride treatments too to help protect their teeth. If you've got teeth which seem to be particularly susceptible to decay, the application of fluoride on a daily basis is not a bad idea. There are little mouth guards that could be made, little soft plastic mouth guards that you could fill with a fluoride gel and apply it for a half an hour a day. And this will help to strengthen the enamel and help to prevent those decay problems.
Hmm. Interesting.
I would discuss it with your dentist. There should be something available for you for that instance.
Thanks, Pam. Thanks for calling. Robert in Middleton, it's your turn next. Hi, Robert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a retired clinical psychologist, and I had worked with a dentist with dental phobics using cognitive behavioral treatments for anxiety relaxation techniques. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, there seems to be quite an emphasis now on going the chemical pathway versus using some very scientifically solid behavioral techniques that working with psychologists would cure the problem versus keeping the person dependent on always having to use a medication.
Well, I agree with you that, you know, I've had people undergo hypnosis. I've had them undergo, as you say, cognitive treatments. And I think that the use of sedation materials is simply for the ease of use. It's a one-time shot. I mean, the patient comes in, sits down, gets a little bit of this medication, gets the procedures done, and goes home. And there's nothing leading up to it or nothing following after it. And it's just, I think, a basis of ease of use that's created the popularity of it.
Hmm.
It's not that the other techniques don't work.
They do.
It's just this is easier to do, and that's why it's becoming more popular.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that's my concern, because in terms of continuity of care, the person has the same situation of all the cognitions about going back again or not going back, or if they do, it's the same technique, and so there's no peace or comfort or decrease in anxiety through the technique.
Yeah.
Well, except people are more willing to go to the dentist if they know that they're going to get something which is going to make them feel okay with the process, and I think that's basically the lead situation in the popularity of sedation. You know, it's not rampant. There are a lot of dentists who don't use it. For example, as I said earlier in the program, you really need to get licensed here in Wisconsin, and you have to have a certain number of education, certain amount of education prior to the use of it in your practice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Robert. Brad and Mosinee will turn to you next. Hi, Brad.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good to talk with you. Dr. Lowell, we had a question regarding TMJ and how familiar your branch of expertise is on this subject. It seems to us from our experience so far that it's a little bit of a medical outcast, perhaps, or maybe we're just not looking in the right place.
Well, no, I treated an awful lot of people for temporomandibular joint problems in my career, and using various different types of technique. In fact, one of the techniques which works quite nicely is the one that Larry just mentioned before, where he has this little thing that just fits over his two front teeth. It's called an NTI device. It stands for nociceptive trigeminal interference.
Oh, my goodness.
And basically... No, I'm afraid I can't. But it is a device that's used quite a lot by a lot of dentists, but there are still a lot of dentists who are really not familiar with it. It's a very simple procedure. Basically, it fits over the front teeth, the upper front teeth, and it basically prevents you from bringing your teeth together so that it doesn't stimulate the grinding process and alleviates the temporomandibular joint discomfort.
If you have, like in jaw opening, you have... possibly a moderate to severe bilateral movement.
Okay.
Clicking
or popping?
Yeah, the clicking, popping, sometimes locking.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that getting more serious?
Well, it can, and something should be done to alleviate that particular problem. Using either some type of protective device over the tops of the teeth or one of these NTI devices. There are various different ways of dealing with it. In the past, people have been tried to train people not to grind their teeth. There's all kinds of different techniques. But I think a mechanical device to keep the teeth separated so that the temporomandibular joint can relax, because there's a lot of tension in there when you have muscle spasms and so forth along with it. And these devices are designed to relieve these muscle spasms and allow the jaw to relax so that you don't get the discomfort and the pain from the joint.
Would like a crooked bite, would that...
Oh, sure.
Exacerbate that?
There are all types of causes. Stress can cause it. A bad bite, a tooth that one tooth could be misaligned and be causing a situation like this. So the
maybe a visit to an orthodontist might be
that would help. Or once again, as I mentioned before, to a prosthodontist. They're usually more tuned into these bite and what we call the occlusion of the tooth problem. So I would go from that point.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Monica in Fond du Lac County, it's your turn. Hi, Monica.
Hi. Doctor, I've been taking Actinol for about 5 years, and last week I went to the dentist to have my teeth cleaned, and there, I noticed a black streak on the bottom of my between two teeth. And after he had fixed it, he said, are you taking, Actinol or any of those? And I said, yes. And he said he's experiencing people who are taking that type of medicine to have trouble with their teeth. Now, I need my teeth.
So do we all.
But is that something that happens a lot?
No, it's not common. And I would certainly discuss this with the individual who prescribed the medication for you. There may be an alternative medicine that you could use which will not have this effect. So that would be the route to go, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, he said that there's a possibility that I might lose some of more teeth because of that, and I find that very disturbing.
I agree with you. That's why I suggest talking with your physician who may have prescribed the medication. And, there are all types of literature available on practically every drug that's being used in this country that you can look at the various adverse effects and the bad symptoms that may occur from taking these drugs. And there might be an alternative drug that will accomplish the same thing for you that will not have this undesirable effect on your teeth.
Side effect, yeah. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Lowell, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate it. This has always been a great pleasure for me.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll look forward to your next visit.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. There's a guy that you don't have to be afraid to see, Dr. Lowell Lackritz, or here, as a matter of fact. He's right here. And he comes by and he talks to you whether you're 500 miles away or next door. Lowell Lackritz. Dr. Lowell Lackritz of Madison. He'll be back again, and we'll talk some more with him about preventing and treating dental disease. Well, coming up, we're going to be talking about how you can reduce your carbon footprint through green building. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.